on 24th Avenue. It's like right by where that park is.
Dude, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
You're kind of by like Frank and Anthony's, that sandwich place.
Yeah, I think
they were on 23rd. Yeah, they're all, dude. That was the saddest closing of a store I've ever seen in my life. I went and got one of their sandwiches, and the guy, I was talking to the guy behind the counter, and he was like, "Yeah,
can't do it anymore."
And you know, he goes like, "Yeah, they increased the rent," and you're like, "Ah, but you know, this place is a, it's," and he goes, "Well, this, we're closing," and I was like, "What?" As he's making my sandwich, he's like, "We're done."
My last one right here.
I was like, "Dude," I was like, "This is the last sandwich you're making me?" He's like, "Yeah." And I was just like, oh, fuck. It was like the saddest leaving of a deli I've ever had in my life. Damn. I was like, God, oh, sorry. Sorry, man. That's like one of those things where you're like, well, better luck next time.
Like, can you tell me this after?
It's like the best sandwich that you're eating sadly.
He's making it. He's like, I don't even care anymore.
Yeah, he's like, I don't know. He's like, usually I put hot sauce on this, but fuck you.
Just ashing his cigarette. He's like, I don't know.
It's one of those things where while he's telling me it's the last sandwich he makes, he's realizing that. Like, as he's making it, he's like, what am I even doing? What the fuck am I even doing right now?
He's realizing how sad it is. Yeah, he's just goes, like, yeah, I guess it is.
And just because I went like, hey, what are they raising the rent? And he goes, they are. And
like, well, I probably thought like, it was you. He's,
yeah,
like,
he's like, hold the fuck on. What's you your last raised name? It? Who are you?
Oh, dude, my
that's
God.
That's fucking hilarious, man. That's like, I appreciate you coming on the podcast.
Yeah,
you
for sure,
did,
man.
Me and you both did guy court.
Dude, I know. That was such a weird
So here's what I'm interested in. So that was a time in my life, because I'm older than you.
Yeah.
That was a time in my life where I just quit drinking. So I was like fresh sober, right?
Yeah.
And they're like, I was on guy code for 2 seasons. And they were like, hey, we're doing guy court. And I was like, there's no way I'm going to do this. And my manager's like, do you want to do it? And I was like, yeah, ask for a lot of money. And he came back and he goes, they're doing it. And I was like, oh, amazing. Shit. Oh, shit. Oh, shit. But how did you get into the guy code world?
Dude, I don't even know. I remember way back in the day, I actually auditioned for that show.
For guy code?
For guy code. And like, I was not prepared at all.
Because how old were you when you were auditioned?
Maybe like 23 or something like that.
Okay, yeah.
But it was like... It was like the first season went out, and then I think they were doing like whatever. I don't remember who was on season one.
Season one was like, you know, a lot of the guys that were the big, you know, Schultz, DiStefano.
Was Pete on it then?
No, Pete joined. I joined season 3, and I think Pete joined season 4. So okay. Season 4 and 5, I did 3 and 4, and then I left for 5. And they did 5 and 6, I think.
I remember seeing Chris and Schultz doing it. But I don't think Pete was on it yet. So it may have been like that season.
Yeah, because Pete did Wildin' Out. And then he moved to Guy Code.
Yeah, but I auditioned for that. And I was just making like YouTubes. YouTubes, you hear me? Now I sound like I'm fucking 97 like years old.
I was doing
the interwebs.
But I was doing the YouTubes pretty good.
I was making videos and then...
Did they call you and go like, hey, we saw your videos. Do you want to come check this out?
Yeah, I think so. Like, I was like taking some meetings with Viacom because I was like making a somewhat of a name for myself at the time. But at that time, I was definitely not like, I'm a comedian. Like, I was making like digital videos, but it was like trying to figure out how to make videos for that. So it was completely different than just like writing jokes, which I wasn't really doing.
Well, also MTV at that time was spiraling. Like they were like trying to figure out who was going to lift them up out of this nosedive because music videos weren't happening anymore. Everything was going to the internet. Apple Music was killing them.
Yeah.
So they were like, how the fuck do we pull out of this?
And it was just such an easy thing too. But I remember I went in and I auditioned for that and like did horribly.
So did I. I auditioned season 1. I auditioned before they made the show and they brought me in and I bombed. I bombed the audition.
Mine was so bad, dude.
And then they made it because it was like, my audition was me in a like boardroom.
Yes.
With like 3 producers. And they were
I was
like,
so intimidated by that too, because at that point it was just me with a camera, no one else in a room.
Yeah.
So now I'm there with a fucking camera and then there's like 5 people and it's like.
And they're interrogating you.
Yeah. And I'm like, I'm not prepared for this at all.
They're like, going like, boners.
Literally is what it's like. boners.
Go.
Say something.
What do you got about boners? And I was like, I have one. Yeah. And then it clears the room. And they're like, yeah, no, we're not in
here. You're done.
Yeah. But they were like, and again, this is like season one, I was drinking.
Yeah.
Because season three, they brought me on. Season four was when I quit drinking. So season three, it was like natural because I was hungover and I was like, she won't ever call you. I was like an old detective. I was like, this stupid old bitch wants half my money. So they loved that. But season one, I like tried like for that audition. So I came in fresh faced and I was like, I mean, who doesn't get boners? And they're kind of like this corny asshole.
You're like reading jokes that you like wrote down verbatim.
Yeah, exactly. I go, well, boner, more like a stick up. And they're like, get the fuck out of here.
She's like, well, that fucking sucks.
But I remember bombing that and then being like, no. And yeah. I wasn't really like mad about it. I was more like, well, that didn't come around.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't leave that thinking nailed it at all. So I was like, I'm not getting that for sure. I was like, okay, that was a cool experience, but no fucking way.
Did you want to make that move at that time? Because you're making way on YouTube. You're making videos. You're doing like,
yeah, it was funny because a lot of people would ask me back then too, like, oh, what do you want to do with this? Do you want to be like an actor? Or you want to do like a comedy or whatever? And I was like, I don't know. Like, so I was just kind of taking any opportunity that sort of came my way that I thought was like a little interesting, being like, oh, I'm going to try and see if I could do something like this.
Sure.
But like, I have no idea.
I think a lot of the times people in your position where you're just like, oh, I liked making videos with my friends. I like doing these games and stuff. That's what I want to do. And immediately someone goes, what about this?
Yeah.
There's always someone there to go like, well, have you ever wanted, like stand up. I just wanted to do stand up.
Yeah.
That was all I ever wanted to do. And then I moved here and people are like, do you act? And you're like, no. And they're like, you should. And you're like,
what about being a producer? You're like, I don't really know what that means, but it sounds like, interesting. It's a job.
We're going to have you do audio mixing. And you're like, I don't even know what the fuck that is.
What about music? You like to sing?
Sing for me. Because that's what was, that was showbiz in like the 40s. If you were like, I could tell a couple of funny stories and then like now sing and dance.
Yeah.
And you had to like do everything. But now in the modern day, you're like, no, I just want to do this one thing right. that I like doing. And maybe occasionally a couple other things.
Yeah, I was still like kind of figuring it out too. Like, especially at a young age, I was very, I just didn't really like to listen to people's advice or whatever, which was like stupid at the time. But
that's also being young.
It really helped me figure out what I had to do because there wasn't a lot of advice to even give me at the time because no one was like making their way on YouTube or anything like that.
Also, people didn't even think it was valuable. That's where
at all. Like, yeah, exactly. Like, and I didn't think it was fun. And I could tell you, it wasn't valuable. Yeah. At one time, there wasn't a lot of money in doing it at all. I was building an audience and I was like, I could leverage this one day to do something.
But so I think right there is good info for someone that's starting out in anything. It's like, have no expectations.
100%.
Like, make exactly what you want to make. And for you, it's just make it for you. And if it built, like, you were building an audience, but you were being you.
Yeah.
And now in the day and age of like ads and Instagram filters, everyone's angling for your money. So I think people, specifically just humans, understand when someone's being genuine now more than ever.
Yeah.
And I think that's like crazy important because if you were to be like, I just wanted to get on Guy Code, your videos would have sucked.
Yeah. 100%.
Because you would have been like, boners. And you're like, what the hell are you talking about?
We're on a ski trip. I probably was doing that too at the time. I probably was just like, you'd rather, dicks. That's it.
Am I right? They're ruining a lot of stuff. But yeah, I mean, the Guy Code audition for me was like a thing where I was going to so many auditions that I was like, that's not going to be anything. And then I saw, you know, I was friends with Chrissy D and I was friends with Schultz and I like saw them blow up off that. And you're like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
All right. They got a full show on MTV too.
Yeah. And they were like touring too. It's like,
dude, they did like a whole Guy Code tour.
Yeah. I remember that.
And then Julian McCullough, shout out Julian. He's been on the podcast. He quit Guy Code and they were like, we need another white. And then they went right to me, another big guy in the paint.
Yeah.
And they came down and I was doing a show in Boston and they were like, can you come write and screen test? And I was crazy hungover. And I think that saved me. Cause I went in and I was like, I want a coffee. I got to smoke a cigarette. Then let's do this.
This guy's a star.
Yeah. And I sat down.
Demanding a coffee. It must be pretty serious.
Yeah. Like this guy really, but I didn't give a shit.
Yeah.
And the power in not giving a shit is more people need to understand that.
100%. And honestly, like that, what you just said is exactly, because we just started doing live shows like this year. Like in January was our first three, and now we're doing like a bunch for the rest of the year. But I remember thinking about, okay, like now this is a different sort of aspect. Because sure. It is like half sort of stand-up, and then the rest is sort of podcasty.
But you're going, the thing about live shows, no matter what you're doing, when you're doing a live show, it's based on the reaction of the audience.
Right.
The audience is involved. Like this, we're just talking.
Right.
This is about us having a conversation. But you go and you add a live audience, you need... Some people don't understand that, and they go, well, we're just going to do what we do, and if they like it, it's like, no. It's an involvement.
It is.
It's a conversation.
100%. And the way I was thinking about it, too, was just kind of like, because it's crazy. It's like, it's a very surreal experience to be like, okay, we're jumping right into fucking theater, so it's not really like, you go wild. Right to a club. It's like, now it's like, okay, there's a lot of people out there. So I had to get in this sort of frame of mind of like, I have to be... I have to think that I deserve to be there.
Sure.
Because if I get out there and I feel like I don't, then I feel like I'm not going to be able to perform for a bunch of people. But if you just have this like I had to like do that where you're like, okay, I belong here and I should be, you know, blah, blah, blah. It makes you like a certain type of confident.
No, that's absolutely. So
if you don't care in the same way that like showed up hungover, did this. So if you like don't really care or, you know, but how it goes, it's like there's confidence in that.
It is the age old saying, don't let them see you sweat.
Right.
Like if you just show up and you're like, you could be pouring sweat, but if you're like, fuck this, you suck. They're like, oh, this guy. I've seen people in stand-up that have zero jokes, but just have so much confidence that even I'm going like, this guy acts like he should be here. Maybe this guy should fucking be here. Yeah. And I know. And I'm like watching the jokes. I'm like, this guy has dog shit jokes. But I'm like, God damn. You're just watching him be like, and like taking time, like having a, dude, I overwork. I just write constantly, and you'll see me on stage being like, ah, blah, 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 and you're like, hey, relax. So it's good to learn. It's good to have a mixture of both, of like excitement while also not being desperate.
Right.
Especially when you go into a live show because, dude, so many people want to see you live. That's how you get the theaters. So that confidence is already there. You're like, well, these people want to see us. So let's just have fun.
Yeah. I mean, and it was also like when we like announced, like we were like, man, I hope, because we went to the first theater we did. It was the Wellmont in New Jersey, and we went beforehand, and I'm standing on a stage. I'm like, this place is huge.
Dude. Yeah.
Like, this is scary, because, like...
And you look at every seat, and you go, and I'm like, that's a person?
There's no way, like, this is happening. So, I remember thinking, I mean, I hope we sell this out.
Sure.
But, like, it's a lot of seats. And then it sells out, like, very quickly, and I'm like, holy shit, okay, like... Well, I just had to get into this frame of mind of like, all right, I got to like be this person now.
And that's, you know, like, you know, probably I've probably had the opposite of in that where you're like, are we going to sell out? And they're like, no,
we are not.
Cool. But there is a thing of like, there's an excitement of, all right, people want to see it. Now, what are we giving them?
Exactly.
Now, how are we going to give them something where they go like, I like that and I want to come back.
Yeah, and I very much like delayed doing live shows for a long time because I wanted to get to a point where I felt like I could actually put on a performance that would be worth people like coming to.
Yeah, and that's going to show. That's going to show because people. There's a lot of people that don't think that, and then they just do shows and people go, "What the fuck did I just go see?"
And like that's like my bit because like I would consider myself like very self aware in that regard of like I do not think that I. Like, this is insane what's happening. Yeah. You know, like, this is not normal. I know
people
that.
Like, people like knowing that.
Yeah.
People like knowing that you're like, it's so crazy because we're talking about having this confidence of like, I belong here. I should be doing this. But at the same time, it's so oxymoronic because you're like, at the same time, you're like, this is nuts, dude.
Yeah.
Like, I say this to comics all the time. I'm like, dude, we're getting paid for stuff that would get me fired at every other job. Just talking shit, being lazy, getting high, showing up late. And they're like, what are you doing? And you're like, I don't know. But in comedy, they're like, you're a real pro. And you're like, I had no idea. Like that guy code, when I showed up and was hungover and was like, I want to go smoke a cigarette ever. They're like, they were like, this is normal.
It's, like, it's great. That gets up, smokes a cigarette, he threw a coffee down in her face. It was awesome.
Yeah, the guy fucking tripped a PA. But I was like standing there. And then I realized like, oh, the screen test. Here's what I found out about myself. I'm horrible at auditioning, but I found out if you put me in the situation, I can adapt faster. I don't audition well, but I perform well.
Right.
So it's like, I don't do practice well, but if you put me in the game, I'll play fine. So when they sat me down for the screen test of guy code, I was like, oh, I got to make Andy Stuckey laugh from Stuckey and Murray. This is fucking great. What? Yeah. What do you want to talk about? And then it felt like we were just podcasting and just right. joking around. And then they're like, that was great. We're going to have you on the whole season. And you're like, oh, fuck. All right.
Sick.
But when they had me in that boardroom, I was like, girls, you better chill out. Yeah. Like,
there's footage somewhere of me, of my guy code. I would love that footage.
I bet you could find it.
I bet it's fucking horrible.
I bet you could.
I bet I wouldn't even be able to watch it. I'd be like, no.
Dude,
I'd get
found,
2 seconds to be like, no.
He found guy court. He went
found it?
He ripped it. He ripped
rip it.
Dude, he just, I'm on the road this weekend in Nashville.
He found it. You hacked somebody? What are you talking about?
Dude, I'm telling you right now, I was on the road in Nashville and he just sends me a screen grab. He goes, found guy court and I'm ripping it. And I'm like, please don't. Please don't. You know what that is? That's like in one of those horror movies where someone finds like an Egyptian sarcophagus and they're like, don't open that. And they're like, I'm going to open
it.
And then it's like, and then the mummy's here. And now we got to worry about the mummy.
Exactly.
So when you auditioned for Guy Code, you didn't get it. But then did they call you?
No, they didn't. They didn't call me. So like, they may have let me know that I didn't get it or something. Probably not though. But years later, I got an email from one of the casting directors for Guy Court. And she was like, hey, you know, I guess my name was on someone's desk or something. And she had reached out and was like, do you have anything that could fit for this show? It's like Guy Court. So if someone's breaking Guy Code, then we're going to bring them to court and like do that whole thing. And I was like, okay. Like,
it's like The Hague, except for dude stuff. Yeah,
right, literally.
Yeah.
And then the episode was, there was a friend of mine that would just send pictures of his balls and dick in our group chat.
Sick.
So I was like, dude, crossing a line. And like, then it was just so funny because they're like, okay, we need visual evidence.
Really?
So I had to go get, and I had to tell.
Dude, like, you have to ask your boy. You're like, or actually.
I had to do that. I was
I'm
like,
being honest, if he sends it to you unprompted, do you?
Yeah, well.
You do, you're like, you send me your balls and I told you not to.
Yeah.
Now, Alyssa at MTV is gonna.
Literally. And the craziest part is like, to his credit, he came on the show too to be like, yeah, I'm sending my boys my dick. It's like,
that's so funny.
But I had to have him take pictures and then blur it out, like, so that I could send them as like evidence.
So I'm
like,
you were the plaintiff.
Yes.
And your boy was the defendant.
Yeah.
Do you remember who represented you in guy court? Do you remember who it was? I wonder.
But I know that Chris represented my friend.
Chrissy D represented your friend.
Yeah, I know
Chris Stefano represented your friend.
Yeah.
It's so funny because you would, as someone that was on the show.
Who was the black dude with the glasses?
Chico Bean. Might have been Chico. There was Chico, Little Duval.
It wasn't Duval.
Jordan Carlos?
It might have been Jordan. It was Jordan Carlos.
It was Jordan Carlos.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right. So they, when you were a lawyer, they would just like, you would show up for a day of filming and they'd go like, Gabrus and Duval are doing this, Soder and Charlemagne. And then like, it was like being a public defender. You would like show up.
Assigned a case.
Dude, I swear to God.
Till day of?
Day of. And then you'd go in and you would meet the person you were working with. And then they would go and be like, all right, my boy shows me his balls. And he found one because they came in and they were like, we got Machine Gun Kelly. Like Machine Gun Kelly wants to do one. Like he wants to, his boy wants to bring him to guy court.
Okay.
And Pete, which is crazy because him and Pete are friends now.
Yeah.
Pete was like, I love Machine Gun Kelly. Can't do Machine Gun Kelly. He was like, I want to do the case or whatever. And they're like, Soder, you're on it. And I was like, hell. I was like smoking a cigarette. I was like, I don't want it. I did two already. And he found it. He was like, you know, Pimp was telling me, he was like, dude, you did not want to be there. And I was like, no, you can miserable. Actively see me being like, what? Because it really felt like a public defender.
How many did you guys film every day?
They filmed they would film all day. They filmed a week for a whole season. And I think they would do, I want to say 3 cases in a day.
Yeah.
And then they would break down in between the second and third one for lunch. But they were like, dude, the audience was so young and I was so out of touch.
Yeah.
That I bombed on a couple cases.
I don't even like remember how it went really. I just thought it was funny that like, I can't believe this is like making it outside of our group chat.
Yeah, that you're like my boy's balls. Here.
Then we had a witness who was my other friend.
Oh, really?
Who came in too. He was there for a second. And it was funny because Donnell Rawlings was like shitting on him too because he has like his eyebrows done and shit.
That's funny. Yeah, so Donnell, like, it was Judge Donnell Rawlings.
Yeah.
Melanie Iglesias was the bailiff.
Right.
And then every time they would switch out Guy Code cast members. Oh, yeah, that was the... Oh, it was Damien. Damien Lemon was the one that was representing Machine Gun Kelly, and I was representing his boy. But, dude, I got a haircut that was way too short, and so I just looked like a fucking asshole. I just looked, dude, you could see me. I was not having it. And his boy was like, it was almost the same thing as your case, except Machine Gun Kelly was showing sex tapes to his friends, and they didn't want to watch it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, yeah, that's disgusting. But it's funny because I was like, when you're doing an MTV 2 show and you have adult, like, I'm sober now. I'm like thinking like.
But you have to.
But you have to act like you're young. It felt so disingenuous to be like, and I'm like trying to use the phrases that are in right now. I'm like, this shit's trill. And I'm like, I don't even know what that means. I'm like using shit that I don't even know what it means. And I'm like, I felt like I was in another country trying to be a lawyer. Like, that's how it felt. Where I was like, I don't even know. I don't know how you guys fucking talk here.
That's funny.
But when you, did your friend ever regret you doing that? Or was he like, oh, this is sick. We're going to be on MTV.
No. He was, I mean, I asked him before we fucking did it. Like, I was just like, yo, they asked me to come up with something. Yeah. Like, this is what I came up with. Like, is that cool? And we were like young enough that no one's thinking like,
oh, this is forever?
My future employer. We were just like, what? MTV? Let's fucking do it.
Dude, I wish that attitude lasted until you're like 50s. Because you hit your 30s and you're kind of like, well, I don't know what's the downside.
Yeah.
And you like immediately start thinking about it. You're like,
well, I don't know how this is going to affect me financially for the rest of my...
Well, what will the third quarter this year look like? And you're like, I don't even talk like that. Because I went from being like season 3 of Guy Code, like showing up hungover, or like, dude, I took the editors out and we just got bombed one time because they were all getting off. We were filming Guy Code and they were finishing at the same time we were. And they were like, do you want to go get a beer? And I was like, better. Let's go get fucked up. And we just went to this bar right by the hotel. 100
beers. How's that?
I was like, how about we just drink a half a bottle of Jameson? And they were like, this guy's a lot. And I remember like, getting on the subway drunk, being like, they're going to edit me to look like a super... And they did. I had great edits. Dude, shout out that editing team. They were so cool. After we got blackout, they're like, I'm going to make Dan look good.
Yeah. And then, I like that guy.
Yeah. But then season 4, I came back, and I quit drinking. And it was like, I felt like I was the parent. Like, they were like, is it breaking guy code if you stretch at the gym? And I'm like, what kind of homophobic shit is that? And I was like saying stuff like
that. Stretching is actually very important.
Dude, I swear to God, Joe, that's exactly my energy. And I was like, yeah, and you know what? You should have vegetables.
He's turning around to the audience. Does anyone understand how important stretching is?
Do you understand your hamstring can and will snap?
You're young now, so you're probably like, fine, but you wait.
Call me at 31 when you got a drinking problem. I'm like just pushing everything I'm going through onto them. And next thing you wake up and your shit looks like mulch. And they're like, what the fuck?
Your parents will never talk to you again. Trust me. Okay.
Please, mom. I'm like pleading to the camera. Let me see my daughter. But when you do Guy Code, I mean, you were getting big on YouTube as this was happening. This was like coinciding, right?
Yes, it was like a progressive during
what was
during
the
that
weirder
time?
One someone going I saw you on MTV2 or being like I'm subscribed to your YouTube?
That never happened. No one was ever like, oh, actually, you know what happened recently? I think like within the last like 4 years,
yeah,
Snapchat like apparently has like a discover page, like the similar
sure kind of like what they do with like Instagram.
Yeah, but they have like shows or something like that, so like MTV has like a or channels, I think.
Yeah,
so like MTV has one and like fucking Daily Mail and whatever, and one of them was me.
Really?
From
Guy Court.
Yeah. And it was like,
do you think someone knew you were big on YouTube, so they go, you know what, we should put this on our Snapchat? Like, I found,
maybe, but it was Guy Court. This was years after.
Yeah,
so like I thought this was already, I haven't even thought about it, and then someone sent it to me. And it was like me and I have a buzz cut. Like, I'm
that's
just like
great.
Completely shaved and like 120 pounds.
And you see that and you go, what the fuck is that?
Where I'm
is
like,
that?
What? And I was like, where is that? They're like, Snapchat. And I was like, I don't have a Snapchat.
Yeah, I've never had a Snapchat.
Yeah.
They, Snapchat, it was so funny to watch AG1. How much do you love AG1? Myrtle, answer me. She loves that I use AG1. AG1 is a daily scoop. You take it in the morning and it makes you feel better because it's got a bunch of stuff in it. Specifically for me, vitamin C and zinc. Being on the road, I need protection. I get sick all the time. Like a sweet, soft little bubble boy, I get sick all the time. So I need vitamin C. I need zinc. I need stuff that's going to protect me. And they have a team of doctors and scientists that put this concoction together. You do a scoop every morning and boom, you get energy. You feel great. It it's tested for 950 contaminants and NSF certified for sport. I'm telling you, I feel great. It supports gut health, and I know it's keeping me protected on the road. If there's one product I had to recommend to elevate your health, it's AG1, and that's why I'm excited to welcome them as a new partner. You want to take ownership of your health? It starts with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3, K2, and five free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase at drinkag1.com/soder. That's drinkag1.com/soder. Check it out. And then April 19th through the 21st, I'm going to be at the DC Improv. We're adding a late show on the 21st. So go to dansoder.com and get tickets to that. And then in May, I'll see you in Providence, Rhode Island, the 9th through the 11th, and Grand Rapids, Michigan, the 16th through the 18th. Dansoder.com. And also watch my special On the Road. It was written by Myrtle. She wrote, didn't you write it? You wrote the whole, she wrote the whole hour. 1.5 million views, baby. You know how many treats I bought this doggy? You know, as we get older and you kind of lose touch with the times, you understand why networks are so out of touch. Because yeah. They're like, is this big? Can we do this? Because Comedy Central had a pilot with Michelle Wolf and I, and they were like, we filmed it. We filmed 3 10-minute episodes that were supposed to go on YouTube. And they're like, no, it's Snapchat. And we're like, what? And they're like, edit these 10-minute episodes to 5 minutes, and we're going to put them on Snapchat. And we're like, you're going to kill us.
Yeah, yeah.
And it did. It just killed it. It killed all the momentum the project had, and we were like, because one guy goes, Snapchat's in
well,
right now.
Well, I remember, because I used to work at, do you remember Elite Daily?
Yeah.
So I worked there. I was like an editor and producer there, and completely fell ass backwards into that, by the way. But
really, were they just like, good videos, you want to work here?
Basically, like, there was no one on the video team. It was one camera guy and then one guy, Tyler Gilden, who is his name. He also was like doing stand-up at the time, and like he was the producer. And then I came in because they were like going to pay me like $150 to be in a video, and I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
And then they were like, oh, do you want to like work here like part-time, be a part of the video team, like you can write scripts and do whatever. I was like, yeah, like, because at that time, like, I wasn't really making a lot of money doing the YouTube stuff. I had, like, an audience, but I couldn't really, yeah, there wasn't enough money in it.
Yeah.
So I couldn't, like, live. So I was like, yeah, and then eventually that turned into a full-time job. I worked there for, like, almost 3 years.
Really?
Yeah, it was cool. But the reason why I brought that up is because I remember there being a point where, like, near the end of, like, my time working there, where there was such a focus on vertical video, yeah, and, like, people were trying to make full-blown movies that lived on Snapchat or on, you know, whatever.
Sure.
And there was that one fucking platform that I don't even remember the name of it, but it was, like, they had all of these vertical video, like, projects, and they would put all these, like, Vine stars in them.
Quibi.
Maybe it was that?
I think you're right.
It was something like that.
It was absolutely Quibi, because Quibi came in this the stand-up world, and they were going like, they had crazy money. They had like startup money.
Yeah, because they were just like, throwing it around.
And they were like, do you want to do a show? And people were like, yeah, where's it going to live? And they're like, on Quibi. And then a year later, they're like, we're what shuttering.
Planet is yeah. that?
There were so many people I knew that got like deals where they were like, I'm getting a show on Quibi. And like six people would say it where you go, guys, you realize this isn't going to happen, right?
Yeah, right.
They have hemorrhaged money.
They were so big on that for some reason.
Like, yeah, they were really big on like, we're going to make movies, we're going to make TV shows, but it's all going to be specifically vertical, yeah, vertical for the phone online.
Which I don't even like that. Like,
no, I would rather watch something. If I'm watching something on Netflix and I have to go on like a plane and watch it on my phone, I'll deal with it. But I'm not
turning that bitch.
Turn that bitch to the side. I don't want to
watch vertically.
Watching vertically, you're like, unless you're on the subway and you're going quick or something, or on a bus.
Yeah.
What are you doing? You flip it to the side to enjoy it.
Anything over a minute, I'm fucking sideways.
Yeah, I'm sideways on it. Anything I eat, like if I'm eating lunch somewhere and I want to watch something on YouTube, I go sideways. Who goes vertical?
You prop it up against a little fucking.
That's like people who only have missionary sex.
Yeah.
They're like, I'm sticking vertical. And you're like, you fucking dork.
It worked for me all the time. I'm sticking with it.
I want it A to B to C. Fucking don't give me anything different.
Doggy's gay.
Yeah. Have you noticed now that YouTube, because, you know, like you were saying, you were at the beginning of it where there wasn't a way to monetize it. There wasn't. You were just basically doing it to do it.
Yeah.
And now it has became, I would say, more popular than cable. I would give a lot of credit to people that stuck with it and made it, you know, like I used to be like when Schultz was like, I'm putting clips up on YouTube. I'd be like, what the fuck are you doing? And then now it's like, we just put out a special on YouTube and I was like, I was wrong.
Yeah.
Like I'm coming back being like, I was so fucking wrong to not have been doing this earlier. Yeah. I'm kind of like the opposite of you. Yeah. I came way too late being like, Comedy Central will bail me out. And Comedy Central's like, we don't exist anymore. And you're like, fuck.
But yeah, I it's funny because when I was making the videos on YouTube and stuff, like there was a podcast I used to do with this female comedian. Her name is Kate Wolf. And
I know Kate Wolf.
Yeah, so I used to do a podcast with her. She was the first one to like introduce me to podcasting. She was like, oh, you want to start a podcast? I was like, don't know what that is.
Yeah, you mean radio where we're not in a studio?
I was like, I don't even know what the fuck that means. But then I remember like hearing my voice on a microphone for the first time and wearing headphones. I'm like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
So I was like, yes, let's do more of that. I'm narcissistic enough to think that I'm interesting. Let's do it.
That's so funny because that's the exact feeling I had when I did college radio. Like I had to join a radio station at college, but then the first time I went on air, I was like, oh, this is the shit.
Yeah, this is awesome.
I'm gonna be a silly, silly boy on this.
I think I'm gonna turn a whole
career
out of this.
And then I just jumped into radio because I did radio before I did stand up. Nice. Because that was the way you got into it. Was because you were like, well, actually, it wasn't really the way you got into it. It was more for me like, oh, well, if I do this as a job, if this is my fail safe, if this is like where I land, then I'm fine. This is a cool job.
Yeah.
But like podcasting came around. I did radio from 02 to 09, mm-hmm. right? And then I got fired from K-Rock here in New York. And I was like, well, radio's done. And then like 2 years later, everyone's like,
if I get fired, it's over.
Well, I got fired and I was like, I'm just sick of this. I'm not going. Because they were like, to stay in radio, especially if you worked at a rock station, if you were in New York and you got fired, like they flipped the whole station. So everyone got fired. I would have had to have moved to like Minneapolis or like New Orleans. Oof. And done like rock. But I was doing stand up at the same time.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, I'm going to stay. And then someone was like, you know, this thing called podcasting is getting big. And I was like, oh, you mean the thing that I have all this classical training in? So when people are like, do you want a podcast? I'm like, you mean radio? Yeah. And that's what it felt like to me. I was like, I got really lucky that it kind of cyclically like came back.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh yeah, people are just, this is radio.
Right.
Like these mics, these were the mics that we had at Sirius and shit. And you're like, yeah, I know what this is. So that's crazy that she's like, do you want a podcast? And you're like, I don't know what the fuck that is.
I have no
is.
Idea that is. But that was like my first introduction to meeting a lot of stand-up comedians.
Yeah.
And a lot of them, first of all, a lot of them would say the same things. They'd be like, dude, before I met you, definitely hated you.
Really?
Like, not hated you, but like, I thought you were going to be a fucking douchebag. And I was like, that's fair.
Why? Because of you?
I don't know. I think it's because of that. Because, and honestly, rightfully so, because a lot of people who are in the space, because I never really fucked with anybody who did like YouTube or anything like that. I like tried, but then I was like, this doesn't really, you know,
you were yourself.
I'm from here. Like, no one gives a fuck. And I honestly don't give much of a shit either, especially then about like, who you've become or whatever.
Sure.
Like no one fucking cares.
That's why New York is New York.
That's why I love it. Yeah. So
New York is like, oh yeah, you got your YouTubes. Yeah, and you're like, all right.
My dad will call me every few months and be like, you still making money from that thing? I'm like, Dad.
Dude, I'm doing pretty well.
Bro, my dad now, I'm not kidding, this is a real thing. 2 days ago, he is hounding me because he sent me a check for my birthday for $200 and I haven't put it in the bank. Wait. And he's like, Joe, I got to figure out how much money I had. Just fucking put it in.
That's so
I'm like,
funny.
Stop sending me money.
You go, Dad, I'm doing all right. And he goes, nah, nah, nah. You're on a live tour.
Like,
and
we're selling out shows, Dad. Yeah, keep your 200.
We're doing theaters. He goes, nah, you know what? Go get yourself something nice. Exactly. And you go, Dad, we sold out every show we did. We're doing fine.
And he's just like, all right, yeah. I'm like, Dad, Jesus.
There's nothing funnier than having a family with zero ties to entertainment and getting into the entertainment business and watching them try to figure it out.
Even better than that, too, is I come from a very loud family. So, sure. Like, a lot of people, when I started making a name for myself, were like, what? Hip? What? Yeah, him? Because, like, you don't even know I'm there.
That's so funny.
With these people.
They go, no, 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 no. He's not funny. He's fine. You know?
It's the best. One time, my uncle pulled me aside at a wedding, and this was after I had like crossed like a million subscribers on YouTube.
Which is crazy.
It was like, it was great. Like everything was going well. And he pulls me to the side and he's like, I'm sweating.
Sure.
Off the dance floor. He's like, come here. Pulls me outside. He's like, here's what you got to do.
Right? That's the best.
And he's like, you got to go to NYU film school.
Yeah. Okay.
And then he's like, and listen, you got people that could help you write. You got me. You got your father. I'm going, wait a minute.
Yeah.
One, I've never seen my dad write a lowercase letter in my life. This man, and he could barely speak English. So, and he was born here. I don't want anyone to think that.
That's so fucking funny.
I'm Irish and Italian. The guy should know how to speak English and he can't.
Yeah.
So like he's the advice that you get from people, cause like they're the funny guys. You know what I mean?
He goes, so get your degree from Tisch. And then.
Literally, he was just like, you gotta go. And then you can start getting into movies. Don't be dumb. Don't just stay where you're doing now. Start doing this. And I'm like,
they have no foresight. Dude, when I first started doing,
like, you drive a truck.
Yeah.
Why are you giving me this information, dude?
When I would, because, you know, I moved here and my family's all in Colorado. And so I would go back and I'd be at like a family Christmas party and I'd been maybe doing stand up at this point, less than 5 years. And so they're like, they pull me aside and they're like, you thought about getting on SNL? And you're like, have I thought about it? Like it's a place you go drop an application off at. And yeah, you go, right. Like, you guys hiring? I'm dropping
a gem on you. You know what you should do? SNL.
Yeah. Dude, like,
okay.
I remember exactly, I'm not going to say which family member it was. It was an aunt, but it was at a Christmas party. And I was like going for the food. And she's like, have you tried going on SNL? And you're like,
what are you like, saying?
You stop the search for food and you go, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'll be all right.
You should host the Grammys. Okay, I'll just do it then.
You thought about doing an HBO special, and you're like, you know what? I didn't even think of that.
HBO's blowing up right now. You should really think about going with them.
I'm gonna at one point go like, oh shit, thank you. I didn't even think of going that route.
It's crazy.
And then what's funny is when you do, like I did, I auditioned and screen tested for SNL and I didn't get it. And so then you say that at the next Christmas party where you go, actually, I auditioned. They look at you like a chump. They go like, you didn't get it? And you're like, do you know how hard it is to get to the, do you know how far it is to get to the final five in an audition? I screen tested. I went to 8H. I was at home base. And they're like sitting there and they go, hey, you chump. Like they don't even give you nothing.
Well, I'm sure you'll land on your feet one
day. That's what it is. Like, or they go, I watched your Conan. And you go, what is this?
Yeah.
What is this?
Oh, I watched your little jokes that you made. All right.
That's why there's a part of me that feels like we're both lucky for not being in families and entertainment.
Yeah.
Because you don't want someone that actually knows. Because then that advice is going to be worse. Because your uncle's advice, you laugh off.
Right.
When he says go to NYU, you go like, shut up.
It's like, I dropped out of college a long time ago.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that.
But if your uncle was like a producer and he was like, hey, you might want to check this out, you'd probably be inclined to go like, all right, I'll go talk to the guy.
To be fair, I also think that like, that would be advice that would be grounded in something and not just in
pure bravado.
I'm going to try and take credit for something.
We're talking about confidence on stage. That's the opposite of confidence. That's where you're like, you don't want any of that. When they're like, I'll tell you what you do. I'm going to write you a movie.
It's funny how out of touch like that generation is, because my dad, he lives in North Carolina now. He'll even talk to me sometimes and be like, he's like, sometimes people, because he's also, we have the same name, Sure. So people see his name sometimes and they like go, at stores and they go, oh, that sounds like the guy from, and he's like, yeah, that's my son. And they like, whatever. And he goes, he's like, Joe, I never say anything though. I'm like, what?
What?
And he's like, I don't, he's like, you know me, you know, I don't know this world and I don't want to get you canceled. I was like, Dad, half of the show is me talking about the stupid, like half racist things that you say.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? I'm
trust
like, this
me, Dad,
is part
you're
of it.
A subject a lot on the podcast.
He's going to come to a show and pff, he has no idea the half hour I'm building against
have
it.
They have they ever listened? Do they listen or do they like?
Not really. Like sometimes he knows people that either their children or like they, I guess maybe them sometimes they watch the show or whatever. So he'll like get bits and pieces of stuff. So, but definitely if I like mention him or make a joke about him, then he like will know, yeah. Like hit me up and be like, you said this. It's like, dude, it's just funny. Or like sometimes he leaves me voicemails because I can't pick up the phone.
Sure.
If I have anything to do that day, because it will last the entire day. I called him one time for his birthday. I just want to wish you a happy birthday. We fought for 4 hours, I think.
No
it, was
just, way.
Like an insane, it was like an insane
about
conversation.
What?
I don't even fucking remember, to be honest, but the guy's just like.
Do you guys hate finding doctors? I'm a hypochondriac. It's the worst part of being a hypochondriac is trying to find a doctor to go to that'll help you. Enter ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable and actually listen to you. And we're not talking about a few. We're talking about tens of thousands of doctors, all with verified patient reviews, so you can make sure the vibes are vibing before you ever meet in real life. I would never say the vibes are vibing, but I read it, and so I technically did just say it. But I'm letting you know that ZocDoc helps you find a doctor that you're going to want. You want bedside manner. You want someone that you can talk to. You want someone you can be honest with. If those are the vibes vibing, then vibe with those vibes. IRL. I'm such a zennial. I'm telling you right now, ZocDoc, I've been about ZocDoc way before podcasting was around. I had someone introduce it to me in 2012, 2013. Been on my phone since then. I've used it several times. It's a free app and a website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and, coolest part, instantly book an appointment. So that's already the peace of mind off your plate. Is you're like, good, I got the appointment once I found a doctor I liked. And you can filter specifically for ones who take your insurance, who are located near you, and treat any condition you're searching for. The typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between 24 and 72 hours. That's 1 to 3 days. So you're going to see a doctor pretty quickly. And it's going to be a specific doctor for a specific thing that you need to figure out. So check it out. I don't know why Myrtle's leaving. She just loves ZocDoc so much, she's got to go tell the other dogs about it. Go to ZocDoc.com/Soder and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc, ZocDoc.com/Soder. ZocDoc.com/Soder.
He's actually fucking hilarious. So, like, it's very easy to, you know, like, that's why he'll call me sometimes and I'll just play the voicemails.
That's
on,
fun
on the show.
Yeah, that's fun because I was lucky enough when we were at Sirius XM that we were behind a paywall and my mom never signed up for Sirius.
Yeah,
so we could talk about her pretty casually.
Yeah,
and then occasionally she's on Instagram, she would watch the Insta stories,
right,
of the bonfire. And so she, if we were talking about her, she'd be like, what were you talking about?
Yeah,
and you'd be like, and dude, 1 year. Listen, my mom watches this podcast. I know that because she has YouTube. I love you, Mom. This is just the truth. My mom with gifts has great intentions.
Mm.
Rarely pulls it off.
The execution is where it lacks.
Fails.
Yeah.
A lot. A lot. So a couple of years ago, she sent me a picture. And she was like, for my birthday. And she's like, I sent you a picture. I hope it gets there. And I unwrapped it before I went to the bonfire. And it was, I'm a Denver Nuggets fan. It was a Denver Nuggets poster framed, but pretty generic Denver Nuggets poster. And so on the bonfire,
was it like an old one or like the new team?
It's like an old logo, but it was framed. It wasn't even the team. It was just a logo with like effects behind it. Right?
Oh, man.
So she sends it to me. I take a picture of it. I take the picture to work with me on my phone, and I show Big J and the crew, and I go, This is what my mom got me. And I start going off about it, about like, this is the thing you see in a sports bar when you're walking to the pisser in Denver. Like, this isn't like a literally thing. Like, this is, what do you think, a birthday present? That's why I'm making fun of it. So she sees the Insta story.
Oh, no.
And in the Insta story, I'm making fun of the photo. I'm making fun of the present. Dude, I get home, and the next day I get a phone call, and I'm like, why's my mom calling me? And she goes, if you didn't want the present, I'll just give you a check next year. And it's like that thing where you go, no, I appreciate it. My mom's like, if you don't want the gift, I'll just send you money next time. And I go, where did you hear this? Because I know she doesn't have SiriusXM.
Yeah.
And she's like, I saw it on Instagram. And then I had to go, chill out. I was making a joke. I love you, but you have to admit. And then now she'll be like, yeah, it did suck. And you're like, all right. Because with your parents, you don't know what they're going to see or what they're going to take in.
I honestly don't worry too much about that. Like, I mean, I'd say a lot of shit. Like, my mom tells me that my mom will see some clips. So she'll, like, tell me, like, I'll go visit her. And then she'll say, oh, I saw that. And it was, like, very funny. But if we ever bring up anything, she never, like, brings up, like, oh, you said this or, you know. So it's never really like that.
It's never been a problem.
Yeah, my dad has a flip phone, so I'm not really worried about him saying anything. So.
God, that's got to feel so good that you're like, I know he'll never find us.
Yeah, I mean, even if he did, though, it'd be funny because I would just not pick up the phone, wait for the voicemail, and play that. Because
do you feel any kind of nerves about them coming to a live show?
No. My mom's already been to one.
Okay.
And my dad, I'm actually excited because I think I'm just going to, like, tear into him. Like, you gotta, it'll
yeah
be great.
Yeah, you got to, where he'll be like, at
he's going to love it, too. Like, he's really? Such a, he's such, like, a showman type of guy, too.
Yeah.
Like, he'll like, love it. Like, do I want to
be, like, next to him, be like, ah, it's my kid. He's my kid. Like, if he's not, if he's in the crowd.
He's going to take, I told him about this venue that we haven't announced yet. I was like, oh, we're doing, you know, this venue. And I was like, are you going to come to that show? And he said, his response was, yeah, of course I'm going to come. Like, it was my idea. I'm like, what?
What?
Like, what are you talking about?
That's so fucking great.
And then
he's
also like, listen, because then he was like, you know, because he used to drive the fire truck. He was a fireman.
Sure.
Right? So he was like, you know, I used to drive the truck, you know, so if you guys get a tour bus or something, I was just like,
dude, I love, let me tell you something.
And then once we started doing theaters, he was like, fuck the tour bus. I'm thinking about getting my pilot's license. That is, I was like, Dad, I'm not letting you fly me anywhere,
that's
dude.
That's so funny. Like, you might know the pilot, my father. And he's like, how you doing? I'm going to be back. Hey, buckle up. He's like, yeah, telling you to buckle
it's gonna
up.
It's going
to
be bumpy, yeah, all right?
Now, listen, my takeoff's not so good.
My landing, though, even worse.
It's going to be, I'm just saying, be afraid. Be afraid till we get there.
I'm just saying, hold on to some. That's it.
Because as someone, you know, my dad, like, splits or whatever, and I sometimes think about how big of a problem he would have been if he would have stayed alive. He would have shown up to shows in San Francisco being like, buddy,
yeah,
how many drinks I get? And you're like, no, Dad, you can't. He's like, you got drink tickets or something? And you'd be like, son of a bitch. Because that's the kind of dad move that I wish I would have been able to see, is him being, yeah, like, hey, by the way, kind of ran into a pinch. You want to help me out a little bit? Maybe I come on tour with you. I'm your, yeah, guy. That's so fucking funny. I'm thinking about getting my pilot's license.
Yeah, no.
His top tier awesome dad being like, I'm coming on this tour.
Yeah, like he's funny like that.
Yeah.
But he's the guy's a maniac, man.
Yeah, because this generation, I think that difference between that generation and ours, right, is the last time there's going to be that big of a difference in technology.
Yeah.
Like, people my age having kids, we're going to know the internet. We just kind of know how to find stuff. The boomer and, like, the older Gen X's and forget the boomers, it, they have no idea sometimes how to find stuff where you're like, they go on Facebook and they go like, I saw something on Facebook, but if it's not there, you're like, oh, you have no idea how to.
My dad sent me an email recently, and just to, you know, piggyback of what you're saying, he was like, I got an email that someone hacked my Facebook.
Oh my God.
And I was like, what? And he's like, yeah, I got an email, someone hacked my Facebook. And I said, you're on Facebook? And he's like, no.
That's so good.
And I'm like, how are you getting hacked if you don't have the
That's
thing, Dad?
That's so good. Because I will say,
he just thought it was a thing you get for being a person, I think. Yeah, that he's like, if you exist, you have a Facebook. Like, and someone has hacked mine.
Like, it's a social security number. Yeah, right? He's like, nah, someone got into my Facebook. You go, you know they're not government mandated.
He's like, I don't know what to do about this. Someone's hacking it. I'm like, how many, like, he thinks that he's getting billions of dollars from a Saudi prince one day too, probably. He's
dude, like, I sent my
I read the email.
I sent my grandmother like an Amazon package or whatever for something when she was alive, and she was like, I've got she would like she had email, but she would check it because of her like homeowners association, and she goes, they hacked my Amazon account. And I go, well, I sent you something on Amazon, but and then it even got me where I go, do you have an account? And I go, click on the sender. And she said, 9J9H4. And I'm like, oh, that's fake. Because when you click on the return address, and, she, yeah. and I was like, Nana, they're tricking you. And she's like, oh. she was disappointed in people doing
why would
that.
Anyone try to trick
oh,
me?
Oh, well, that's mean. And you go, well, I think mean is a way to describe it. Yeah. Oh, why would you do that? Has there been anybody from your guys' neighborhood that you've seen do a 180 because of like fame? Have you seen anybody that was like a dick to you that has turned around and been like, you know, I always fucking liked your shit? And you're like, no, you didn't.
Honestly, no, like, not really. Like, a lot of the kids that I grew up with are just, like, kids that I know from the neighborhood. Sure. Maybe there are some, like...
high school people?
Maybe, but, like, even then, like, I don't really... There's been no people in my life that I felt like, oh, this person wants to be my friend now. You know?
Never
like,
had that?
Not really. I was like, pretty cool with everybody, and, like, I was just always had, like, friends in different, like... had like, you know, weird fucking whatever friends. And then I also played sports in high school. So like I had those friends too. And like, I don't know, there was a point in time in the very beginning where I felt like people hated me just because I thought I was this person.
Well, that's what you're doing something. So they think like, who the fuck are you?
But you're fucking 19 years old. So obviously that's going to happen. But I mean,
dude, I remember
it's not really my experience. Like everyone's been like kind of similar in certain ways. Like
when I was in college, it got out that I was doing open mics, and like I lived with a weed dealer, and we'd like go to these places, and like these frat kids found out, and they're like, "You think you're funny?" And you're like, "Don't, please don't do this. I don't like you to begin with. I'm just here because
that was a joke,
that's
clown."
That's exactly it. And you're like, "That's not how it works." Yeah. And they're like, "Oh, how does it work?" And it was just like being in that like kind of frat energy where you're like, man, fuck you.
Yeah, it's
and hard. Then they come out to a show years later and they're like, hey,
pretty good.
But then when someone's all old and you're like, yeah, I remember you. Like I got a couple of those where I'm like,
I never forget.
Like Count of Monte Cristo shit. I'm like, I'm fucking saving this shit. I had that a lot with waiting tables in the city because I like when you're waiting tables in the city, everyone's trying to do something. So like, everyone's either an actor
right.
or a comic or a musician or whatever. And then you would get on, you would like start, and then not my friends, not the people I was cool with, but the people I kind of knew would be like, oh, they're letting you do that? And you're like, fuck you. You didn't even do your side work.
Yeah, give me a break.
Yeah, you're like judging them on how bad of a employee they were at the restaurant. You're like, well, of course you're not going to make it. You didn't even fucking do the, you didn't do your silverware rolls right. But that was always the feeling where you're like, who the fuck are you to judge me? Yeah. I always think that's interesting because growing up in New York, I think you guys had a different, New Yorkers don't care
no.
what other people are doing. That's why this city, you can get so much done is because everyone's like, yeah, I've got to worry about me. Yeah. I don't give a shit. Whereas yeah. like LA or another place like that, they're like, well, what are you doing? Why are you doing that?
When I worked for Lee Daly, I would go out there and I've like told a story like a few times, but it was like such a clear difference. But I used to go out there with Lee Daly, and there was a series that I was doing that, which was, by the way, now that we're talking about it again,
yeah.
a complete rip of like Guy Code.
Really?
It was just talking head shit. And it was like, I got a list of like a bunch of New York City comedians, and like, they were like, all right, pick a bunch of people from this like list. And we had like Mark Normand was in the series. Tim Dillon was in it.
Oh shit.
And we had like comedians that people like kind of know that were like in this thing before they ended up like blowing up and having like a, not because of this, they didn't blow yeah, up, yeah, but yeah. you know, but way later me, on.
Dude, that, you're catching those guys, two of my friends that you're catching at moments where we're taking whatever we can get. Where yeah, like, you want to come dude, by and talk? And you're like, yeah, I'll do that, dude.
Tim also like, Tim really stood out. Tim and Mark specifically, they yeah. both like really stood out to me. I also love the way that Mark Norman like writes jokes. Like I think yeah. it's fucking hysterical.
His, oh yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
His like, you know, his hey, whole thing. Yeah, that, I love it. I love it. Yeah, exactly.
I was watching him last night at the Cellar, and I was like, I think of this. I love his joke style.
Also, like, yes, you got just it. His Twitter to me is like, God damn it.
He's
every
wild.
Time I read his tweets, I'm like, fuck, that's good.
But then he uses that. What's crazy about Norman is I've just known Norman the entire time we've both been in New York. He used Twitter, which I think was the original reason of Twitter, which was for comics.
Right.
I'm going to try jokes.
Right.
Here's a, and you can just do a simple structure of premise, setup, punch right there in the tweet. And Norman got so good at it that yeah. I had that same feeling where you're like, fuck.
Fuck, that's good.
I'm like, can I put a voice note in there? I do voices.
Part of me reads some of his tweets and I'm like, I can't believe he just let that go as a tweet. I would have like built that.
But
then
he
thing.
Does, but he does, what he does is too? When you go see him live, you'll be like, I remember that tweet. Nice. And then it'll be part of a big bit and you're like, and you used it right. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like finding out someone used tools correctly when you're just like throwing them and you're like, yeah. Ah, son of a bitch.
But and I met Tim during that time too. And he said to me, I thought he was like hilarious. And then we like remained friendly like over the years. And then I remember he was the first person because at that time I was so insecure about like, should I, cause I'm meeting all of these stand up comedians
sure.
and I'm like, oh, I need to start doing stand up and doing this. And Tim was the first person to be like, are you going to like start doing stand up and stuff? I was like, yeah, you know, I'm thinking about like, you know, getting into and doing that. And he was like, why?
Yeah.
Dude, he literally was like, why? And I'm like, oh, I don't know. I just, cause everyone else was just kind of like, yeah, you should do it. And it's like, you know, the next step in the career and this and that.
It's but very Tim to go.
Tim was like,
you don't need to do that.
He literally was like, don't do that. He's like, people, he's like, all of us are trying to get to the point where we could just do what you're doing. Just do that. And then
that's great advice.
And it was cool because like, that's what I felt.
Yeah.
But I was feeling pressure of being like, I just want to be involved in like the scene or whatever. And he was like, fuck that. Like just fucking,
you're
you know?
Successful. Go be successful. Like that's exactly. And honestly, I've seen Tim do that to people and I've seen people not react to it well. I've seen him do it to other people and they're like, yeah, Tim told me to quit. And you're in your head going, he was right.
Yeah, yeah.
You like, you just want to be like, Tim was fucking right to other people where he'll be like, you don't want to do this. What do you want to go on the road?
Yeah.
You want to be alone all the time?
Yeah.
No, you're fine.
Yeah.
You're fine. And you're like, dude, I love it. I've always said, man, if you can ever get to the level where you can get a meal with Tim Dillon, it fucking rules. It's there's nothing better. He was in Boston. This is like last month. He was at the Wilbur. And then I was at the Wilbur the next night. But we went up a night early because my fiance is from Boston. And so we were like, oh, we're going to go see your family. And we were staying downtown. And I texted him. I go, hey, are you around tomorrow? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, lunch? And he's like, and then just sent me a restaurant. And he's like, 12:30, be there. And I showed Katie, who's from Boston, and she goes, that's an unbelievable seafood place. And we show
such
up.
Like a restaurant snob, too.
Dude,
it's hysterical.
It's so funny. We walk in. He's in the back booth of the restaurant. And we sit down, and he goes, I already ordered a seafood tower. And it just comes out, and it's like, fuck a tower. It's like a World Trade Center. It's like, dude, it was like five things, and Katie's like, this is awesome. And we're just like eating, and Tim goes, the problem with the entrees are, it's never as good as the appetizers. And we're just eating, and we're like, dude, this is insane. It was one of the coolest experiences. And then you just sit around and talk shit with him for fucking 45 minutes, and you're like, this is the best.
No, he's great.
I love that. I love that he told you. He's like, don't do that.
Yeah.
Because you know what the thing about Tim is? He was probably in a position where he should not have told you that.
No.
Because he was coming up.
He
wasn't.
Yeah, because he was definitely not like,
he was probably like
a big comedian at all at the time. And I didn't even give him this whole reason for even saying that. He was just asking, like, we had, I think, just finished the podcast and whatever. And then he was like, and he was just also familiar with what I was doing because we worked together at Elite for that thing.
Sure.
And then he you know, he knew me through like the, not through the YouTube videos, but he like knew I was doing that as well. And now I'm doing the podcasting thing and it's all like seemingly like, you know, going well. So he just asked me, he was like, are you going to do stand up? And I was like, yeah, maybe. And he was like, why? Like, just don't do
that's
it.
So
like,
good.
It was like, honestly, like freeing at the time too. Cause I always knew like, I want to do it.
Kind of lets you off the hook.
Yeah. Cause it's like, I want to do it, but like, this is this person that I respect. I think they're very funny. And like people who are at the time more successful than him are giving you opposite advice. And it, like, to you, it doesn't feel like the right thing. And then when someone who you respect is just kind of like, Yeah, no. Why would you do that right now? Like, handle this, and like, you could always, it'll always be there.
Yeah, you
could. So do this now.
That is something that happens in life, that when it does happen, and you like, you're feeling it, and then they say it, and you go like, all right, well, this is true because it lines up on so many different levels.
Yeah.
But there's so many people that will ignore that.
100%.
Like, I started comedy in Tucson, but I wanted to move here. I wanted to live in New York. I like, all my favorite comedians were New York comics. I was obsessed with O&A, with the documentary comedian. But all these people that were years ahead of me in comedy were going, we're close to LA. Go to LA. And it's like that thing where you feel and you go, I just don't like LA.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like, no, you got to go to LA. And you want, there's almost a part of you that goes, all right. And yeah. Then I was like, oh, fuck that. I'm going to go to New York. And it's the best decision I ever made. Right. So it really is, man. If you like... People don't teach that enough of, if you have confidence in yourself, just fucking listen to that.
Yeah.
Just listen to that voice inside your head.
Yeah. Because
now you're doing live podcasts and look at that. Like, you know what I mean? You're doing these venues where your dad's going to have to fly you there.
My dad, he thinks that we're just taking a private jet.
Dude, I love
that he's going to fly.
I almost want your dad to call you and go, I did it. Helicopter license.
Dude, honestly, I would not be fucking surprised. Sometimes he'll text me random shit. One day he was like, look at this train. It was a locomotive train, like a Harry Potter train. And I'm like, where are you?
Yeah, what are you, the Polar like, what Express? Is
then, oh, you said just a helicopter. Just reminded me. He didn't text because it's a flip phone, but it was a fucking email from a phone number.
Yeah.
And it was a picture. It was a picture of a helicopter. He's like, I'm going on a helicopter ride tonight. It was sitting in the driveway of someone's home.
That's so funny.
He's like, yeah, the guy's got to wheel it out of his garage. I'm like, don't get in that.
No. What are you doing? That's like an old timey. Don't even take that helicopter in the apocalypse if they have that.
He literally got into a guy's helicopter that like he had in his garage.
Just the guy going, you see that third garage? There's a helicopter in there.
I'd be like, get the fuck out of here. The price is right.
He goes,
let's guess we'll time door number three. A fucking helicopter.
He goes, we don't have a helipad, but we'll get it up there. Don't worry.
How do you we'll land launch it there?
He goes, well, we're going to land it in my driveway.
Dude.
We're just coming down a helicopter.